In this series of messages that we began here a few services ago, our Lord identifies in Matthew chapter number 12 those who are His family. And He tells us there that it is those who do the will of His Father, which is in heaven, that they are the ones who are His brother and His sister and His mother. And so we found out that one of the things, according to our Lord, that characterizes the family of God is indeed the Father's will. And that is that those who are part of the family of God are those who have obeyed the will of the Father. And we've discovered that in the context of Matthew 12, the will of the Father is for sinners to repent and turn to Christ. That's the call. That's the message that is being proclaimed by the Son of God to reveal the will of the Father. And that is, it's His will. It's not His will that any should perish, but it's His will that all should come to repentance. So everybody in the family of God are those who have obeyed the Father's will. That is, they have repented. If you've never been brought to the point of repentance, that is, to a point of brokenness over your sin and turning to Christ, ladies and gentlemen, then you're not a part of the family of God. But all of those who are part of the family of God, they are the ones who've obeyed the Father's will. We discovered not only does the Father's will characterize the family of God, but the new birth does as well. And that is that everybody that's in the family of God has experienced, ladies and gentlemen, the new birth that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about. That is, when God brings you to the point of repentance, that is, of turning from your sin and turning to Christ and receiving Him, ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, we are born again. That is, we pass out of the realm of spiritual death into the realm of spiritual life. That is, the life of God comes to live on the inside of those who turn to Christ. They are a brand new creature in Christ, having been born of the Spirit. Hey, everybody in the human family has a birthday, and everybody in God's family has one as well. In the human family, you have a birthday, that is, when you were born physically. But everybody in the family of God has a spiritual birthday. That is a time when you were born again, when God saved you. Listen to me now. If you don't have a spiritual birthday, then you're not a part of the family of God. If there's never been a time when you were born again, then you're not part of His family. You're outside the family of God. Everybody in the family of God has experienced not only obedience to the Father's will, but also has experienced the new birth. And then we also discovered that characteristic of the family of God is what I call the favorite food. And that is that just like in your family, that everybody has kind of a favorite kind of food that they like, ladies and gentlemen, even so it is in the family of God. But listen, in your family, everybody might have a different kind of food that they like, but I tell you that in the family of God, the favorite food is the same food for everybody. And that is what we discovered in the service this morning, that in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, that our favorite food is the Word of God. It's the same food that Peter was writing about in 1 Peter chapter number 2. You remember that passage, don't you? In 1 Peter chapter number 2, Peter says about the people of God laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Those are the things that ruin your appetite right there. But laying all of those things aside, ladies and gentlemen, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And that is, if you've had a little bit of taste of the grace of God that we just sang about a few moments ago, I mean talking about the grace of God that would save a wretch like me. If you've ever gotten a taste of that grace, I'll tell you, it creates an appetite on the inside of you. You've got a hunger on the inside of you, and the hunger on the inside of you is a hunger for the Word of God. You see, those who've been born again are new babes in Christ. And just like a little baby that's been born that desires the milk, you don't have to teach a baby to desire the milk. Hey, the doctor doesn't have to give the little baby a shot or some kind of a medicine that makes them desire milk in most circumstances. I know there's a few exceptions to that. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that when a baby is born normally, they have a desire for milk, and they already know how to receive it. They've already been programmed. God programmed them inside the womb so that they are ready to go. And I found out that those who have repented of their sins and have been born again, that when they're born again, they, ladies and gentlemen, enter into the family of God with an appetite for the milk of the Word. That is, we want the Word of God. Like a newborn babe, we desire the sincere, that is, the undiluted milk of the Word of God. We don't want a watered-down version. We want the pure Word of God. There's a desire on the inside of us, and we hunger for the Word of God. Now listen to me, if you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, then there's something not right on the inside. And you say, Pastor, I just endure the Word of God because Mom makes me go, or Dad makes me hear it, or Grandma and Grandpa or somebody else does. And but listen to me. Now, if you ever get born again, you'll desire the Word of God for yourself. Like a new babe desires the milk, it is our favorite food, and it'll become your favorite food as well. Isn't it amazing as you're growing up in life that some of the things, some of the foods that you despised, now you like? Well, remember when you was growing up and Mama made you eat the peas? And you thought, man, I hate these peas. I don't want these peas. And now some of you'll eat the peas. That's all right. You like them now, a few of you anyway. There's a few of you that are still shaking your head. Oh, isn't it amazing? Well, I tell you, that's what happened to me when God saved me. And that is when I got born again, ladies and gentlemen, before I got born again, I didn't have any appetite for the Word of God. Now, listen, I went to Sunday school because I had to go to Sunday school. And I went to church, and the reason why is because there wasn't no question. I didn't have a mom and dad that let us decide. They decided for us. Not only about church, but about just about everything. They made the decisions for us because they're the mom and dad and we weren't. And I think that's appropriate still, don't you? And but nevertheless, we went to church because mom and dad said we're going to church, and we didn't go every service. But we were there enough, ladies and gentlemen, that I knew I didn't like it all that well. It was kind of boring. I'd rather be home watching something on TV. Now listen, TV in those days is a whole lot different than it is in this day. And but there's always something that I can watch, and it may be a Tarzan show. It might be a Marshall Dillon shooting somebody. But I tell you, I'd rather be at home watching something on television than I would sitting at church listening to the preacher preach. And by the way, the music was all right, but it wasn't nearly as impressive as some of the shows that you can watch on TV. So there's other things I'd rather do. And by the way, when I got to church, that is, whenever God started dealing with me, every time I got there, I got miserable. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to go somewhere where I'm miserable. And there's other people now that were having a good time down there at the little church where we went. Some of them were rejoicing, and they were happy to be there. And I was, the more they rejoiced, the more miserable I got. And the reason why is because I didn't know why. But something was wrong on the inside of me until God revealed it to me what it was. But I really didn't want to go. I didn't have an appetite for that. And as I've told you many other times, and that is, if I could just fake a sickness to get out of going to church, I might fake that. Problem is, it didn't work. And the reason why is because my mom and dad knew when I was faking. I had to really be sick. There had to be evidence of it for me to be able to stay home from church. But I really didn't want to be there. I didn't want to hear the Word of God. And I had a little Bible that was given to me. And whenever I was small, you know, you go to Sunday school so many times, and they'll at a certain age, they'll give you a Bible at church. I had that little Bible. But I never really read it. Didn't really have a desire to. Some of you know right where I'm at right about now, because you are right there. But I tell you, that day that I got saved, that Sunday morning, I'm about ready to celebrate, almost here shortly, to celebrate my spiritual birthday. About a week or so. But I'll tell you, that Sunday morning, when I finally believed, when I finally trusted in Christ, when I finally was born again, I couldn't wait to get church on Sunday night. As a matter of fact, that's one of the clearest changes or things that was new in me that I noticed the most. Not only the peace that God gave me, the cleansing that I felt. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a desire on the inside of me, in my heart, to get back to church. You know what I did when I got to church? And some of you listen to me now. You know what I did when I got to church? We got in that little church, and there might have been 50 or 60 or 70 people there. I don't know how many was there for sure on a Sunday night. And Brother Tom got up, and he started leading us in a song. And you know what I did? Well, I started singing. That is, I picked up that old green Broadman hymnal, and I don't know what we sang, but I sang. And I sang from my heart. And I tell you, the preacher got up there and he started preaching as he normally did. And I was eager to listen to what it was that he was preaching. And you know what I did when I got home on that Sunday night? You know that Bible? I decided I was going to start reading it. The reason why is because I had a hunger in my heart. A hunger for the Word of God. And listen, if that's not enough, my pastor, that is, at that time, he had this tape ministry. Now, I know this sounds really old because it's been a long time ago, But he had a cassette tape ministry, and he would go to camp meetings like in Camp Zion, and he would record all the messages, and he had hundreds and hundreds of cassette tapes of Bible preaching, just solid Bible preachers, and I would get some of those cassettes, and I would listen. Not only would I listen to preaching, not only would I listen to it on Sundays when I had to go to church, but I'd like to listen to it on those cassette tapes. I'd put those things in the little cassette player, get my ear right down there, turned up as loud as I could, and I would listen to those preachers preaching the Bible. Now, you don't have to get a cassette right now. If you want one, I think we still got some upstairs. And but you have to listen to me again. But you have to get no cassette. And that is, you can just go online and listen to Bible preaching, can't you, today? Now, be careful who you listen to, but you can. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. That is, there's something on the inside of those who've been born again, like a little baby that's been born. You're just hungry for the Word of God. It is our favorite food. And like some of the verses that we looked at in the service this morning, and that is, it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, that both in the Old and the New Testament, that there's a picture being drawn of a people who love the Word of God even better than they do their favorite food. That is sweeter than honey to their taste. And that is that they know that their life is not about bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. One of the things that characterizes the family of God is that we've got a favorite food. And all of us love the same food, and that's why we're here tonight. Isn't it amazing that a church would get together on a Sunday night? Now, it used to be traditional for churches to get together on a Sunday night. It's not so traditional anymore in the culture at large, in church culture at large. But I'm so thankful to be a part of the church that has enough hunger for the Word of God to want to get together again on a Sunday. That is, it loves the Word of God more than you love a ball game, loves the Word of God more than you love a program on TV or a website on your or a game or whatever it might be that has a hunger or an appetite for the Word of God. I tried to begin describing to you in the service this morning why it is that the Word of God is so favorite to us, our favorite food. Why it is we love the Word of God and why it is that we hunger after the Word of God. And one of the things I said to you based on the book of 1 Timothy and also 1 Peter, 2 Timothy and 1 Peter, one of the things is because of the origin of the family. I said to you in the service this morning that this family, the family of God, originated, ladies and gentlemen, it began with the Bible. It began with the Bible. And that is, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter, the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 23, that is prior to this passage you and I just looked at. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, when we got born again, that, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is what ushered us into this family. We were born again by the Word of God. It's like the Word of God is like the seed that was conceived, ladies and gentlemen, that was planted in our heart, like the seed of a man planted in the womb of a woman that brings about physical birth. The Word of God was planted in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And the Word of God started growing on the inside of us, working on us on the inside, cutting us on the inside. Hey, this book, the Word of God, is like a two-edged sword that cuts right down into the soul, ladies and gentlemen, into the soul and spirit of humanity. It reaches an area of our life that nothing else can reach. The Word of God is like a sword that cuts, that reveals to us our lostness and our desperate need for Christ. It's like the seed on the inside of us that creates life. The reason why that I have eternal life, that I've been born again, is because the seed was planted on the inside of me, and that seed is the Word of God. If it wasn't for the Word of God, you and I would not be saved. We would not be born again. We would not be a part of the family of God. You heard the Word of God preached. You read the Word of God. Somebody witnessed to you and told you about what God said in His Word, and when you got to the point that you needed to get saved, it was the truth of the Word of God that saved your soul, the truth about Jesus dying on that cross and paying the price that brought you to the point of faith or belief. That is, the basis of saving faith, ladies and gentlemen, is the Word of God. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see, and that is that the origin of the family began with the Word of God. And that's the reason why we love it so much. The reason why we love the Bible so much is because the most important thing that's ever happened in my life came about because of the Word of God. That is, there's not anything more important to me than my salvation. That is, when God saved me. Listen to me now. I'm going to make some radical statements to you. Do you know that my salvation is more important to me than my family is? And listen, my salvation is more important to me than any money that I might have, salary that I might earn, car that I might drive. It's the most important thing in my life. And listen, it came to me through the Bible. So is it any wonder that those who've been born again, is it any wonder that we love the Word of God? That is, we love the Word of God, and the reason why we love the Word of God is because of the origin of the family. This family began because of, a direct cause is because of the Word of God. Now listen, let me share with you something else. And if you're taking notes, here'd be your second reason why, that the Word of God is our favorite food in the family of God. It's not only because of the origin of the family, but because of its permanence in the family. Its permanence in the family. You know, there are some things in families that are permanent. And that is maybe in your family. I don't know, maybe in your family there are some things that are part of your family and they always will be. Some of those things may be like an heirloom, something that is handed down from one generation to another. Some of you that are in this room or listening to this message, it might be that something has been handed down to you that belonged to your ancestors, and that is maybe going way back to your great-great-great-grandparents has been handed down from one generation to another, and now it's in your possession, and you're going to hand it down to somebody else. It's just like it's permanent in the family. There are many families in our nation that one of the things that is permanent in their family is the family farm or the family land. And that is that their family has owned a piece of land and has owned it for years, for decades after decade after decade, and it's handed down from one generation to another. And it's just like a permanent part of the family. And we cherish those things, don't we? That is, those things that are permanent, there are some things that aren't permanent in your family. And that is your car that you have, maybe your family car. One of these days, it's going to wear out. It's not permanent. And one of these days, listen, I remember the farmers I used to pastor, they had a place back there on the farm, where they had those rusty vehicles parked back there in the backside of the farm. And those are cars that were wore out, and they were sitting back there, and weeds growing up and varmints living on the inside of them. Those old cars, those things aren't permanent. Hey, the clothes that maybe you wear, they're not permanent. But there are some things maybe in your family that are. You know, then the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, we have something that's going to last forever. Something that is permanent. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Something that is permanent. Well, among other things, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is permanent in the family. Listen to what it says again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Listen to this now. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It sure does. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord, guess what, folks? It's going to endure forever, verse 25. And this is the Word. The Word of God is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Did you know that in the family of God, the Word of God that is being taught, the Word of God that is being preached, did you know the Word of God is going to last forever? That it is permanent in the family of God. Listen, we might glory in the things of this life that are only temporary, but ladies and gentlemen, listen, the Word of God is going to endure forever. Now listen, let me ask you something. Why would you want to feast on something so temporary as the things in this life when we have something eternal like the Word of God? I mean, this is going to last forever. Listen, I know that our jobs are important, but someday your position's going to be gone or you're going to have to step down. You're going to be too old to do the job, but the Word of God is going to endure forever. I know that our houses are important. We've got to have a place to live or some shelter, but someday it's going to rot to the ground, but the Word of God endures forever. I know that your automobile is important. You've got to have something to get you around in, to get from place to place, but one of these days it's going to be out there in the junkyard, but the Word of God will endure forever. Hey, as a church family, family, hey, the building we meet in is important. It gives us a place to meet and it's set up so that we can meet together comfortably. But one of these days, this building is going to be gone. But the Word of God will endure forever. Hey, the property that we own, it's important to us, ladies and gentlemen. It gives us a centralized location. But one of these days, that's going to be melted with a fervent heat. But the Word of God, it's going to endure forever. I could keep going on, but I'll pause at this point just to let you know that there's something that the family of God has that is absolutely permanent, and it is the Word of God. That's why we love it so much. That's why it's so valuable and so important to all of us. This is the thing, listen, the Word of God is what's going to endure. Hey, listen, when you and I have passed off the scene and the family of God continues with another generation of believers, there's one thing that you and I can hand to them, and that is the Word of God. And listen to me now, when I say it, hand it to them, I don't mean just handing them a Bible. I'm not just talking about buying the next generation, that is the younger people in our church, a Bible, but I mean handing it to them with the understanding of what this book means, what it means. That is teaching the truth, especially the important truths, the truths about salvation, that is in a generation of churches that have watered down the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, to be nothing more than just simple words from your mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for there to be the truth handed down from one generation to another. And it is that truth, the truth revealed in the Bible, that's going to endure forever. That's why we value it so much. That is a reason why, is not only because of the origin of the family, but also because of its permanence in the family. Let me give you a third point, or a third reason why, that the Word of God is so important to us. The reason why it's our favorite food in the family of God. And that's because of the growth within the family. The growth within the family. Listen, in most families, ladies and gentlemen, we like to see the kids growing up, don't we? Well, I attended a graduation not too long ago. That is two of them, actually. And grandchildren that are graduating. Everybody graduates now, don't they? And when I was growing up, you might graduate out of elementary school, or let's call middle school now, into high school and graduate. Listen, everybody graduates now. So I got to go to a couple of graduations. And the reason why is because the kids are all growing up. And whenever the kids walk, when the kids are graduating, when you go to the graduation and you see them graduating, all the parents and grandparents are taking pictures and kind of oohing and aahing. And the reason why is because little Junior now is growing up and he's getting his diploma and he's graduating. We like to see the kids grow up. Isn't it exciting to watch them? I like to watch the kids here at church and see them growing up. Some of them were just little bitty children whenever I first came here, and now they're growing up and having their own kids, and now their kids are running around here and they're growing too. We like to see them graduating out of the nursery into toddler ministry and then on up into 4 and 5 year old classes and on up into children's church. We like to see kids growing up, and you like to see that in your family as well. That is the growth that's taking place in the family. Well, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in the family of God, it's also important for us to grow. And that is that once you've been, listen, when you get born again into the family of God, when God brings you to the point of repenting and you are born again, not only are you born with an appetite for the Word of God, but also God's expectation is that we are going to grow. Growing spiritually, growing in our understanding, growing in our walk with God. That is becoming not just baby believers, but becoming mature believers. One of the things that distinguishes baby believers from mature believers is our understanding of the truth of God. And that is, baby believers are those, ladies and gentlemen, who are still having to be taught the basics of the Bible. But mature believers are believers, according to Hebrews 5, mature believers are those who understand the basics of the Bible and have moved on to other truths, meatier truths of the Bible. In the book of Hebrews is specifically talking about moving beyond just the life and death and resurrection of Christ to our understanding of His ministry as our great high priest in heaven. That is moving on in the Bible. You say, Pastor, I don't know much about the Bible. Then what in the world is wrong with your growth? I mean, why are not you growing? That is, why aren't you digging in and getting some milk so that you can grow and before long maybe get a little bit of meat as well? You see, God's purpose and His intention for us is to grow up. Did you hear me? You see, one of the real issues and one of the real problems in church life across our country and really around the world, ladies and gentlemen, are those who profess to believe who are remaining in infancy in their spiritual walk. And that is, they still got their mouth open waiting for somebody to give them a bottle. In other words, they're still waiting to be fed. Somebody feed me. Listen, if you've been saved for years and you're still waiting for somebody to feed you, then something is not right. You ought to be learning how to feed yourself about now. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't it be funny if we gathered together at the next church meal and there's a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old still being fed by his mama? Well, yeah. Now, I know there could be exceptions to that. There are diseases, you know. But, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be funny if if our youth group, we have to bring their parents in to feed them, and that is, they're dipping their spoon into the mashed potatoes and putting it into their mouth. They're cutting their meat up in small pieces. They're taking the hot dogs and cutting them up into small little chunks so they don't get choked on them. Well, that would be really strange, wouldn't it? We would think that to be odd. We would think by now they ought to be grown up enough to be able to eat themselves, feed for themselves, wouldn't you? Even so, the Bible paints a picture of believers that should also be able to feast on the meat of God's Word and not being fed the milk. That is, those who ought to be able to take the Word of God and teach it to somebody else. You say, Pastor, I can't teach the Word of God to somebody else. Well, sure you can. That is, you can teach it if you'll learn it, if you'll know it, if you'll grow in it. It's not that hard. All you got to do is tell somebody what the Bible says and then explain to him what it means. If you'll get into the Word of God, if you'll just listen to the preaching and the teaching already being done and learn that, then you can grow as well. God wants you to grow. You know what God wants to make you? He wants to make you a champion for Christ. But you're not going to become a champion if you don't grow. And ladies and gentlemen, the source of our growth within the family of God is indeed the Word of God. That's what Peter tells us here in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Grow thereby? Grow by what? By the Word of God. It is our source of spiritual growth. That's what makes all the new ones grow. That's what makes the kids grow. That is not, ladies and gentlemen, the children age-wise, but I'm talking about those who become children of God, newborn babes in the family of God are growing now, and the reason why they grow is because of the Word of God. And listen, as newborn babes, we need the milk, but I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we need more than milk here at Eastern Gate. There's some believers that need a little bit of meat to chew on. You need some meat. And that's the reason why we spend some time in the Word of God at Eastern Gate. So, Pastor, all we do is get together and study the Bible, and you get up there and you preach and you go on and on. Listen to me now. I'm trying to give you something to chew on. I sure am. I want you to have to chew on it for a while. You say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it all. That's the reason why you have to chew it up. See, that's the difference between milk and meat, and that is milk. You don't have to chew on anything. You just swallow it on down. But if you ever get a hold of a chunk of meat, you might have to chew on it for a little while before you can swallow it down. And even so, my purpose is not just to give you milk so you can just swallow, but to give you some meat that you have to chew on for a little while before you can internalize it, grab a hold of it. You know why? So you can grow. If all you get is milk, you're not going to grow. After a while, you need more than that. You need something you got to think about, meditate on. You need some meat. Listen to me now. The Word of God is our milk, and it is our meat so that you and I can grow. That's why we love the Word of God so much. That's the reason why that it is our favorite food here at Eastern Gate. That is, in the family of God, those who have been born again, it's because, ladies and gentlemen, because of the growth within the family depends on the Word of God. Trying to describe to you why it's our favorite food, that is, it's because of the origin of the family. We began with the Bible. We wouldn't be saved. None of us would be in the family of God if it wasn't for the ministry of the Word of God. Because of its permanence in the family. And that is, the Word of God is the one thing that's going to remain forever, according to what Peter writes. It's also because of the growth within the family. That is, within the family of God, if you're not going to grow up and become champions for Christ, then, ladies and gentlemen, the key to that growth is indeed the Word of God. But let me just say also that it's also because of the gift to the family. The gift to the family. And that is, the family of God has been given a wonderful gift. And ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful gift that the family of God has been given is indeed the Word of God. It is our gift. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let me show you this for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You'll see it. It's a passage of Scripture familiar to you, isn't it? The Bible says, and we were looking at this a little bit this morning, but when Paul was writing to Timothy in verse number 14, he says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Timothy, stick with what it is you've learned. What did Timothy learn? Verse 15, "that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." That's what it is that he had been learning. That is, he had been learning the Word of God. The Scriptures, when the Bible talks here about the Scriptures, it is a word that simply means, it's a word graphe, and it's a word from which we get the word graphe. It means writings, but it's not just any Scriptures, it's the Holy Scriptures. And that is, the Scriptures are the writings that are indeed holy. It's talking, of course, about the Word of God. That is, he's known the Holy Scriptures, and he says it's the Scriptures that made him wise to salvation. That is, the salvation that comes through faith in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why Timothy became wise to salvation was brought to the point of knowing about salvation, how to be saved, and knowing about Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why is because of the Holy Scriptures. And I'll tell you, listen to me now, what a gift they are. Look at the next verse. All Scripture is given. Well, it's a wonderful gift, isn't it? It's a gift that has been given to us, given to the family of God. God gave you a wonderful gift. It's the best gift you've ever received. You know, in the family, we like to exchange gifts, don't we, in the family of God? And in our physical family and your biological family, you like to exchange gifts. You probably have a time when you do that. The family all gets together. Hey, maybe it's a birthday party. And your family gets together because somebody's going to is having a birthday. Now, when I was growing up, this is the way it was. Now, listen, when I was growing up, we had birthdays and we had a little birthday party, but it was just my immediate family. It was just me and mom and dad and my siblings. That's all it was. We didn't invite everybody under the sun to a birthday party. First of all, mom and dad couldn't afford to feed that whole crowd. And so we didn't do all that, but we just had a little birthday party. And whoever's birthday it was, they got a little gift. It might be a baseball or it might be a basketball or something like that. But we got a gift from mom and dad, and mom fixed a cake and we got to eat a piece of cake. We didn't have cake all the time, very seldom, just birthdays mainly when you have something sweet like that. And we thought that was really something. Birthdays are a whole new dimension today. I don't know how it is in your family, but listen, in birthdays today, the ones I've been to anyway, everybody gets a present. Now, I just can't get my head wrapped around that very well. And I'm thinking, is it everybody's birthday? No. Now, listen, whoever's birthday it is, they get all these presents like I would have gotten maybe at Christmas time. But everybody gets something. All the kids, that is, that come to the birthday party, they get a little bag of some stuff in it, and everybody gets a present to take home. We like to give gifts. Maybe it's a birthday party. Maybe it's at Christmas time. Your family gets together and you like to, everybody kind of get each other a gift to celebrate during Christmas time. We like to give gifts. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in the family of God, we've received some wonderful gifts as well. And one of those gifts that we treasure, one of the gifts that's going to remain for, it's not one of those kind of gifts that you look at it for a little while and play with for a little while, use it for a little while, and then it's gone. No, this is the gift, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to last forever. You know what God gave to us, don't you? He gave to us the Scriptures. All Scripture, verse 16, is given. And did you notice how it was given? The source from which it was given? The Bible says here that it was given by inspiration of God. Now, I love that little phrase. And the reason why is because it reveals to us the source from which this book came, the Scriptures. When the Bible talks about the Scriptures, it's obvious it's referring, when Paul was writing to Timothy, it's obviously that he's referring to the Old Testament Scriptures. And that is, you and I should understand the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, as indeed being the Word of God. And Jesus affirmed the Old Testament as well in Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18, that it is indeed the Word of God. And he used the word Scripture to refer to the Old Testament in places like John 7 and verse number 38, John 7 and verse number 42. In Luke 24, 27, he opened their understanding to the Scriptures. And so we know that the Old Testament is in mind here. That is, when it talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But it's not limited to the Old Testament. The reason why is because of the fact that Jesus made it very clear that when he spoke, that he was speaking the Word of God. That the words that he spoke were indeed the very words of God. Listen to what he said in John chapter number 12 and verse number 48. In John 12 and verse number 48, our Lord made it clear that that's what he was speaking. That is, he was speaking the very word of God. John 12 and verse number 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus is saying that what he has been speaking and saying, ladies and gentlemen, is the word of the Father. It is indeed the Word of God. According to John 14 and verse 26, when the gospel writers recorded what Jesus did and said, it was because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That is, Jesus said that one of these days the Spirit of God's going to come after I've gone, and he's going to remind you of everything that I've said to you, John 14, 26. And that's the reason why that we have the Gospels. That is, the New Testament is indeed the Word of God. When you read Paul's writings, it becomes evident that Paul knew that what he was writing was indeed the Word of God, divinely inspired Scripture. He said that in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 13. That is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, he confirmed that what he was writing is indeed the Word of God. Listen to what he wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." The message that Paul was preaching, the books that he was writing, ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed understood by him as the Word of God. So whether you're looking at the Gospels, whether you're looking at Paul, at the Epistles, or even if you get to the last book of the Revelation, it becomes obvious in the book of Revelation that John recognized it as indeed being the very Word of God. It even starts off that way. Listen to it in Revelation chapter number 1. In verse number 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw." It's obvious that he refers to this book, this revelation, as indeed the Word of God. Did you know that Peter recognized Paul's writings as Scripture in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, where he said there that indeed some of the things that Paul wrote, that is, the Scripture, is indeed hard to understand and that we wrestle with. He spoke of it as being Scripture, using this same kind of word. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. When the Bible tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's talking about the Old Testament, but also about the New as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says here that God gave it to us. It's God's gift to the family. And it was given by inspiration of God. As you all know, that word inspiration is a compound Greek word. It's translated from a compound Greek word, theonoustos. The theo means God, and the noustos means breath or breathe. God breathed. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word is used, and it's used here to tell us something about how it is that the Scripture was given to us, how it was provided for us. Is telling us that it originated with God and the Scriptures came from God. Just like God breathed into man after he formed his body and he became a living soul, God breathed, ladies and gentlemen, and you and I have this living book called the Scriptures. That is the Word of God. It is divinely inspired. When the Bible says here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's not talking about just the fact that the Bible is inspiring in its effect, but the Bible is inspired in its origin. Not just inspiring in its effect, but it is inspired in its origin. That is where it is, the Word of God, how this gift came to us. It was God-breathed. It means that all Scripture has its origin in God. It is a provision of the divine breath, the divine breath being a reference to the Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the divine breath of the Spirit of God so guided and directed the human authors of Scripture so that they wrote was not just the words of men, but indeed the Word of God. Why, 2 Peter chapter number 1 affirms that for us, does it not? In 2 Peter chapter number 1, listen to what it says in verse number 19. It says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn arise, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We've got this sure word of prophecy, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but no, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It's not just men writing their thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you and I are going to understand the Scriptures correctly, then we have to understand that they are a gift from the Father given to us, ladies and gentlemen, through the moving of the Spirit of God. That is, they are indeed given by inspiration of God. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do this after he ascended back to heaven. That is, he said in John 14, verses 25 and 26, that this is what the Spirit of God would do. Listen to what he said. Our Lord in the upper room with these disciples, and this is what he spoke to them. John 14, and in verse number 25, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he said, these things have I spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And because of that ministry of the Holy Spirit, we do have the Gospels in the New Testament. Not only that, but he also said in John 16 and verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he'll show you things to come. The Bible's Jesus said, I've got more things to tell you, but I can't tell you right now. But the Spirit of God is going to guide you into that truth. And for that reason, we have the epistles of the New Testament. And then he said he'll show you things to come. And for that reason, we have the revelation in the New Testament. What I'm trying to describe to you is that our Lord himself stated that the Holy Spirit is the source of the revelation of God. That is God's revelation that has been revealed and been placed, ladies and gentlemen, in this book called the Bible, has as its source the blessed Spirit of God given to us by the Holy Spirit, by inspiration of God. This book that you and I have is divinely inspired, and you should understand it that way or you don't understand it correctly. That's right. Now, this book doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The very words themselves are indeed the Word of God. When I say that the Bible is divinely inspired, I mean that all of the words as they were written, as a result of the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, these are the very words that came from God and are the very words of God. They sure are. The Word of God. When the authors of the Bible wrote, they were so moved by the Spirit of God that what they wrote are indeed the very Word of God. Every word from cover to cover is the Word of God. Did you know the same God who inspired the revelation of himself that we call the Bible has preserved this book as well? He's preserved it down through the ages so that right now, today, we have accurate translations of the very Word of God as it was originally given to us, that is, through the authors of Scripture, translated in languages, in the English language as well as many other languages around the world. It's important for us to understand that God not only inspired, but has preserved His revelation to us, that is, the very Word of God. He is the source of this wonderful gift that is the gift of Scripture. God is. Listen, in the family of God, we have a wonderful gift. We love this gift. We sure do. That is this gift that's been given to us. The Word of God given by God, given by divine inspiration. It's our favorite food. We love to get together and just chew on the Word, don't we? We sure do. Well, sometimes we get a little milk and we just swallow it right on down. Sometimes we get a little meat and we have to chew on it for a little while before we can swallow it. But oh, how tasty it is, whether it's the milk or the meat, it really tastes good. Now listen, some of you here and you don't like the taste of the Word of God. It makes you wonder if you're in the family of God or not. The reason why is because we love the Bible. We like to read it just to know what it says, don't we? That's what Paul told Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 4:3. He says you need to give yourself to reading. That is just reading the Word of God. You ought to just read the Bible and find out what it says. Just read it. Just pick it up and start reading. Say, Pastor, I don't know where to start. Just start in the New Testament. That's a good place. But just start reading the Bible. You say, I don't understand it all. Well, I'm going to speak about that too. But just go ahead and read it. You'll never understand it if you don't know what it says. So just read it to find out what it says. And by the way, after you've read it to find out what it says, then you can start studying it to find out what it means. Well, the Bible says that in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that can rightly divide, that is rightly divide the word of truth, can understand what this book means. Now listen, some of you might look at somebody that has a knowledge of the Bible and just think that they just got up one morning and all of a sudden they know what they know about the Bible. Maybe it's your Sunday school teacher and that teaches you the Bible every Sunday. It may be your small group leader or whatever it might be. And you say, well, how? They just know the Bible just like they got up one day and they know the Bible. You know the reason why they know the Bible, what it means? The reason why is because they've been studying it. That's why they spent hours. Listen to me now. They spend hours in the Word studying so they can come to you and teach you a Bible lesson. Did you know you can do the same thing? You can do the same thing. You say, Pastor, I'm just not good at studying. If you can figure out how to operate a cell phone, you can study the Word of God. You sure can. As a matter of fact, listen to me now. If you've got a car that's halfway new and you figured out how to operate that stuff in that car, you can study the Word of God. You're smart enough to study the Word of God. You sure can. You see, you and I need to read it to find out what it says, study it to find out what it means. Do you know that we need to apply the Bible so it becomes a part of our life? Internalize it. Just like you do when you're eating your favorite food. And that is that you, at some point, you internalize it into your body. You swallow it, and it becomes a part of you. And ladies and gentlemen, the same thing is true of the Word of God. That is, we read it to find out what it says, we study it to find out what it means. That means that we get it in our mouth and we chew on it and chew on it until we understand what it means. And at some point, we swallow it so that it becomes a part of our life. So we begin to apply the Word of God to our life. It means we memorize and meditate the Bible so that we don't forget what it is that we've learned. That's what Paul told Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 4:15, to meditate on these things, to think about them and chew on them on the inside. That is, chew on the Word of God. It means that we reverence the Bible as the Word of God. Listen to me, that we reverence and respect the Bible as indeed for what it is. It is the Word of God. This is not an ordinary book. This is indeed the Word of God. This is the Creator God who's revealed Himself to you. And the Word of God is to be respected as it is. The Word of God is to be received as the source of truth. And that is, if you want to know what is right and true, you better quit looking to the world and you better look at the Word of God. It is the source of truth. That, listen to me now, that which does not line up with what God has revealed in His Word is not true. It doesn't matter who says it. It might be your favorite coach. It might be somebody in your family. It might be somebody that you've looked up to. But listen to me now, if what they're telling you does not line up with this book, then you're being fed a lie. It is not true. So you need to receive the Bible as your source of truth. Hey, you ought to submit to the Bible, surrender to it, like Mary did. The Bible says whenever the angel came to her and revealed the word of God to her, Mary, you're going to conceive and have this baby. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. I love that, don't you? That is, I want your word. I'm going to submit myself to what your word says. Whatever the word of God says, I surrender. That is, I just want to carry a white flag around with me all the time. It might be this one right here. A white flag. And every time God speaks through his word, I just want to throw my white flag up and say, I surrender. Whatever you say, I surrender. I'm not going to fight against the word of God. I don't want to rebel against the word of God. I just want to be surrendered. Whatever God says, I surrender to him. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Listen to me now. God wants to make you rich in the word. He sure does. Why, you haven't read that, have you, in the Bible? Why, in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16, listen to this verse. Now, this is another serious message by itself. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, the Bible says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, just being, you can get rich in the word. Your life can be enriched with wisdom because of the Word of God. Listen to me now. The Bible tells us that you and I can take this book and we can begin to teach it to others. That's what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And that is the same word that you've received. Now you can teach others who also can teach others. Teaching the Word of God. Did you know you can find comfort in the Bible? Comfort in the Bible. Listen to Romans 15, 4. I'm just about done if you're beginning to wonder. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Listen to this. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Listen, if you need comfort, I know God has given you something to help you. A wonderful gift, this wonderful gift is the Scriptures. Listen. It is our favorite food, the Bible. It sure is. Well, it's our favorite food because of the origin of the family. It began with the Bible. It's our favorite food because of the permanence in the family. This is what's going to last forever in the family of God, the Word of God. It's our favorite food because of the growth within the family. It's our source of growth. It's our favorite fruit, ladies and gentlemen, because it's God's gift to the family. So you can know him, walk with him. I'm talking to you about our favorite food, the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth and what you're saying to us, and God, for your work on the inside of us. Lord, I pray for those who are here that have never been born again. Father, I pray that you'll do a work in their hearts, even this evening. That they would, Father, Lord, be brought to that point that only you can bring them to and save them by your grace. And for your people, God, Lord, I pray, Father, that you help us to get back to your word and reading and just enjoying feasting on the word of God so that we can grow and become everything you want us to be. Would you bless everyone here? Father, I pray, God, that you give everyone here a hunger for the word of God. For your glory and for your honor. Lord, we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to start singing here in just a moment.